that's just it. That's the beauty of the technology now. You know, in as much as 3-4 years ago for our company, it would always require someone going on site, having someone capture the space using some type of 3D camera or, you know, an HDR camera. Nowadays, we take a collection of architectural plans, CAD files, elevations, any sort of finishing schedule and design inspiration. And through the combination of those files, you can create these spaces from scratch. So CGI renderings, all of that is just built off of files that you can gather. So you don't have to go on site anymore.
Welcome to another episode of Sink or Swim, brought to you by RentSync. From operational challenges to marketing mastery, we uncover the strategies and technologies in all things prop tech. So let's dive in as we explore the trends, tactics, and insights that define the future of multifamily investments. Sink or Swim starts now.
And welcome to another episode of Sink or Swim, the podcast where we navigate the currents of the rental housing industry. I'm your host, Giacomo Lattice, and today I'm joined by Josh Donan, Vice President of Sales at Grid. Josh, thanks so much for joining me today. Happy to have you on.
Thanks, Giacomo. Before I get into it, I need to start off. Major props to whoever in your team came up with Sink or Swim. Brilliant name. Love it. Had to start in the
room. I will take full credit. It may or may not have been me. Okay, it wasn't me, but I'm going to take, let's take some credit and say, oh, it was a collective effort there. So the reason why I want to have you on is because we haven't actually had this sector really talked about in the podcast yet. So I figure this now would be a good time, especially with timing with CFA coming up and knowing that you're going to be talking in that event. So maybe to start off, tell us a little bit about yourself, your role at Grid, and what's your day-to-day look like so we can get a little background of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, the VP of sales at Grid, I've been with the company now about 4 years. I work more so on the day-to-day, I guess, working very closely with most major REITs, property developers, managers, owners across North America. And before diving headfirst into the property tech space, I think I've worked in account management and marketing and sales capacity for approaching 10 years now. And I think I learned, you know, pretty early on with Grid, a deep passion for real estate and product innovation and just how quickly, you know, the space is moving and evolving. And for the company itself, you know, how fast we were able to kind of adapt and proactively monitor trends in real estate. So like most real estate companies and most startups, rather, where everyone's wearing multiple hats, I also oversee the product innovation team. So I work closely with really, you know, incredibly bright and talented group of staff that are all focused on monitoring the real estate space and sort of identifying new solutions for our clients.
And maybe like take another step back for those who maybe don't know, what is Grid? Like from somebody who's never heard about it before, what exactly do you guys do?
Yeah, great question. The spiel. So Grid, we're a property tech company that essentially develops and deploys innovative tech solutions for properties and their residents. So we've got two unique divisions of Grid, Grid Digital and Grid Park. For the most part today, we're going to focus on Grid Digital, but Park at its core, really we're focusing on a very outdated, super inefficient component of real estate, being the parking sector. And our tech stack is designed to optimize operations and drive revenue. Whereas on the Grid Digital side, we are a real estate media 3D visualization and design company. We've got a full end-to-end suite of tools really catered towards accelerating or leveling up the leasing process and visualizing spaces at any stage of development. So pre-construction through stabilization, our team is basically constantly looking to evolve that leasing process.
So is the idea then that you could actually go into like pre-built construction building, your team can go in there and then you can kind of visualize through your technology of what it will look like in a couple of years from now?
Yeah, exactly. I think you kind of nailed it there. Where Grid started, you know, even back in 2015 to where it was when I joined about 4 years ago, where we've since expanded is that full end-to-end. So as you mentioned, seeing spaces at pre-construction before shovels even hit the ground. Now with the tools and technology of today, being able to visualize that space as a finished product, you know, with hyper-realistic renderings, interactive tours and videos, kind of having that exact same traditional media mix, if you will, for stabilized assets or for as-built, having that exact same mix now existing for pre-construction.
Like to me, it sounds really beneficial for, you know, a potential renter, because if they're seeing, they're going on a website and they have a hard time visualizing what the place looks like, they can have an idea. But do you see that developers also see like a real benefit from it as well? Because it's almost like the first time that they're sort of seeing what these units are going to look like staged? Or is it more towards like a renter focus leaning on what you guys do?
Yeah, I think the application, you know, while primarily driven for the end user, our residents or renters, the applications for developers from conceptual renders early on for the cities, for communities to kind of sell that vision. As you know, I listened to Dimitri's podcast on the episode before and talking about like the lifestyle shift of purpose built. I think that's really highlighted with this type of work now is you're not selling the building itself, but you're selling the idea, the community aspect, the vision behind it. So that type of technology, I think, goes hand in hand with, you know, what developers are trying to achieve.
So you must offer a lot of flexibility as to like, this is the type of building we're going for. This is a trendy loft, or this is more of something for, let's say, seniors who want to downsize. I'm assuming that's like a big part of what you guys do, right? It's actually like talking to developers and getting kind of like an understanding of, hey, this is what we're going for. Now, what does Grid offer and what can they produce for us?
As I mentioned, like the application, it doesn't even necessarily only apply to the multifamily or development space. That same application is for condo developments, for single family, for student living, where, you know, outdated leasing processes and trying to pre-lease efforts for any of those, it's really moving into the modern era. And what we've kind of noticed is that shift of what is a want to have versus a need to have. It's totally moving. And a lot of that obviously is due to COVID, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit. But what we've identified, even as you said, you know, seeing a space, whether it be a loft or let's take a commercial example, a hair salon versus a coffee shop, what our technology can do now is take that exact same space and at a click of a button, be able to stage it in multiple ways and showcase it for different demographics, different targets. So it's quite fascinating.
Yeah. So you guys are also doing retail, office, and commercial spaces then. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, really, it's all encompassing here. If you take office retail, historically a pretty old school mentality, a lot of it's a handshake sort of relationship. But what we've noticed as we slowly move back to that like hybrid work from home in office model, and as even like vacancies in the office retail space are finally starting to stabilize, that need for this technology is more apparent now than ever. Where before, again, if you're working with big corporations that have their set schemes or schematics every time, they don't need to see what that space is. But for a lot of smaller businesses, boutiques, they need to be able to see that space. So again, whether it's a coffee shop or a law firm or a tech office, you know, being able to showcase it from shell condition while it's under construction, that type of technology now, the ability to have these tools to see that space in multiple ways is exactly where we hope the industry continues to move.
I'm just kind of curious how much you can divulge in this, but so what's the process then? You go into the space, bring a ton of cameras. Like what is the process going in order to accurately capture the space?
That's just it. That's the beauty of the technology now. You know, in as much as 3-4 years ago for our company, it would always require someone going on site, having someone capture the space using some type of 3D camera or, you know, an HDR camera. Nowadays, we take a collection of architectural plans, CAD files, elevations, any sort of finishing schedule and design inspiration. And through the combination of those files, you can create these spaces from scratch. So CGI renderings, all of that is just built off of files that you can gather. So you don't have to go on site anymore.
So you don't even really need like a high dynamic range camera or anything like that to do any of this, right? I figured it would take like bare minimum. We need something that captures the lifelike image as good as possible. But that's not the case anymore. That's interesting.
That's not the case. And we're finding more and more that I guess the need to have options for buildings at any sort of state, whether that be, you know, pre-construction, mid-renovation, or completion, having a full suite of options and tools catered for that. So I mentioned shell space, you're mid-construction on a project where people still want to have that, you know, traditional experience of going on site, whether it be like a hard hat tour, which I got to do my first only a couple of weeks ago. It's fantastic. But seeing a suite mid-construction, you know, still hard to kind of envision that brought to life and how that might fit with your furniture style. So even for, as I mentioned here, like mid-construction projects, now having tools that can bring shell space to life, or even before that, so pre-leasing efforts, that same style of photography, videos, and tours, floor plans, you've got that same mix now well before construction's completed.
Is that like a newer technology that kind of happened? Like to me, it sounds like an outsider of this, like you know, when COVID hit, you know, we're not actually going to get your team to come into these buildings anymore. Was that like a tech that you guys developed in order to maybe successfully do your job without actually having to travel? Or was that maybe something you guys were already planning? Because it seems like we know when COVID hit, the industry kind of changed a lot. And like, that seems like something that would have changed is, hey, we can do this without visiting your place anyway. Was that already happening? Is that a new technology?
It's not a new technology in that I listened to Matt Livingstone's episode kind of comparing the purpose-built rentals, those Class A properties compared to like the condo development space. And this type of technology, similar to like a floor plan navigator, has existed in that space for years. And typically it was only reserved for those premium sort of properties because of the price tag associated with it. Now, I think that what we found with iterations of the technology, being able to offer it in our specialties, the multifamily space. So taking existing technology and trying to evolve it. And I think that's going to be kind of a common theme for our conversation today, Giacomo, is, you know, the evolution of property tech and 3D design and media there. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're always looking at areas that we can improve upon what exists. So whether that means cutting down on the need for on-site capture and having a suite of options for that pre-construction side, we're constantly looking at ways to evolve pain points in the leasing process or operation side with parking as well too.
Interesting. I touched on it a little bit, but I'm assuming like with COVID, right? It not only like prioritized the need for staging virtual tours, but I would imagine with that came a lot of new challenges for you guys, but maybe a lot of opportunities to really present yourselves as the way to go. It's like, no, like almost like a line was drawn in the sand saying, if you didn't have this before, you didn't have these virtual tours or virtual staging. Well, now you have to have it. Is that kind of what COVID brought out of this in your opinion and kind of how your company was able to adapt with that? Because I feel like you're in that very interesting niche of this industry where COVID caused you guys to be even more necessary than probably ever before. Am I right in assuming that, or am I a little bit off there?
No, absolutely. I think you nailed it. In most cases, you know, where you're trying to react to market trends, as soon as we identified where the industry was going, we proactively got on top of this with new product lines, essentially geared towards the major pain points or the unfortunate circumstances of COVID. You know, what I mentioned before, the kind of changing brand media standards, if you will, the entire industry shifted from like a want to have, where a tour was a nice little add-on, if you will, to a need to have. As people weren't able to leave their homes, we needed solutions that you could see space. And, you know, I did some homework here reading a couple of reports, and just like an interesting stat I wanted to share is that, I guess, as a result of the pandemic, if you will, renters have become so comfortable with a digital renting experience that 72% of renters say they would rent an apartment without ever seeing the property in person. So if that's not a glaring indication of how, you know, trends are shifting, it really, unfortunately, moved the real estate space into the modern era. Because before, people would rely on the in-person tours and really have to see that touch and feel to a space before they would make their decisions. And now that's changing. And I can even speak to that personally. Like when I moved from Winnipeg to Toronto, aka Las Vegas, I didn't have that opportunity to see a place to rent because it is such a competitive market that I had to rely on the media for, you know, for my now home.
That's interesting too, because I thought as well, because COVID, people don't want to visit the buildings or leave their house because of the fear of the virus. But also because of COVID, people realized that they didn't actually have to live in the city that they work anymore because they can just work from home. So I think that adds like an extra layer of this too. You have tons of people who are moving province to province now who weren't before, and they actually don't need to live in these dense cities anymore. So that just adds like another layer to it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's sort of, that mentality has shifted. And we've noticed that with many of our projects now incorporating a work from home aspect to their suites. That 1+ den or 2-bedroom suite, now our clients want to be able to showcase that space either as a home office or as a guest room, as a home gym, et cetera. It's the perfect fit for the type of technology that we're rolling out because, you know, the ability to see a space, whether that be staged, unstaged, to toggle between the two and help envision it with what your furniture set may look like and how you may utilize that space better. I think that speaks volume to the information and the opportunities that buyers, renters, leasers, et cetera, you know, they've got more information readily available today than ever before. So it makes it more competitive so that when you're focusing on, you know, Class A purpose-built rentals and those lease-ups, it's of utmost importance to be able to show off the real benefits of the entire building, not just the suites. People want to see what the amenities are going to look like. And historically, when you look at a construction process, they'll rush to have one or two model suites completed, and then everything else is about 3 to 6 months delayed. So they have no way of kind of showcasing this. So kind of going back to where we've, you know, found an opportunity is to offer that style of an immersive interactive tour of the amenity spaces, of the exteriors, of the community, well before construction's completed. I think that's one of the major benefits we're seeing now.
I was going to ask you that too, and you kind of touched on it, because there's a lot of things going on, I think, now in multifamily space where it's kind of becoming a mix of, it's rising up to what condos used to be, but also renters are now expecting a little bit more out of their purpose-built rentals. Probably lace that in with more of premium rents that are being asked for right now. So I say that to say, amenity spaces are almost just as valuable as what the suites are going to be like as well. So you're saying that not only are we doing this for virtual tours of the suites, but we're also branching off into the amenity spaces of a building as well?
Yeah. And I guess from our perspective, we look at the entire building as a lease-up experience, right? So from a click of a button, I can jump from any of the available suites to the amenities. And I think that ties in really well with what, you know, our friends over at Rensing are doing with the Floor Plan Navigator and that total immersive experience, one centralized platform. And I think that there's such a benefit to that combination of having high quality media assets that tie directly into the availability of the suites, because people want to know what that specific unit's going to look like. So tailored options for a floor plan for availability, jumping into the available or the amenities and really the selling features of the building. It's a common concept in from marketing. It's, you know, it's difficult enough to bring someone onto your website, and it's just as difficult, if not as expensive, to keep them on your site. So what sort of tools and what sort of engagement opportunities do you have? And that's why for us, we believe tools like an interactive floor plan navigator, these are the way that websites are moving. It is a virtually driven experience that is never going to take over the in-person. I think that there's always a need, especially for a number of, you know, buyers, renters, residents, they're going to want that in-person experience. To have that supplemented with, you know, a virtually driven experience, ease of use, totally centralized, like those are the major benefits of kind of today's technology.
Yeah, and kind of circle around the Floor Plan Navigator too. Like one of the big things that we love about it and what clients like about it is just like it's really aesthetically pleasing, right? It's something that just adds a little bit more authority to a website by just having this interactive floor plan, which gives a prospecting tenant so many tools to see the building, right? And now we're getting to like 3D tour space of the exterior of the building. So it adds a lot more to the site. And just so if some buildings have this, they all want to have it, right? Because they're going to feel like they're being left behind, especially with the competition that we're at now. So I feel like you see a lot of, let's say, synergy between what you guys are doing and the Floor Plan Navigator. And probably in the future, more trends come out and it'll just have more synergy together.
And that's what we've identified as well, is you look at this comparatively to the condo space, where we've got these super intricate 3D models, you're going on site to a sales center, and you know clients are paying tens of thousands of dollars to have these materials developed. Well, now take a step back, simplify this to what you know the real purpose of a Floor Plan Navigator is. For us, it is a one-stop shop to house all of that beautiful media and that content that you've created. And having that linked directly as a live view of availability. So from, as I mentioned before, like there's never been this much availability of information to buyers and to potential renters and residents here. So having the options to see that real-time perspective, it's a buyer-driven market. We all know that there's a housing crisis. So ensuring that your standard for a lease up is up to what, you know, people expect these days, it's a necessity.
Yeah, and I'm always wondering now too, like, as you mentioned, like, we're in a housing crisis right now when there's a lack of supply. with the initiatives that are coming in place to increase supply into the Canadian market, like I feel like there's an avalanche coming of once we start seeing that large supply coming to the market, well, it's going to be such an influx of new buildings, new websites, new clients that are going to need tools like this. So I'm always curious, like, you know, we stay pretty busy when there's a lack of supply. What's going to happen when they really start bringing a lot more resort rentals into the market? It's, you know, I'm kind of optimistic about what that's going to be like. I think it's going to be quite an avalanche.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I can only speak anecdotally here, but in chatting with our agency partners, our consultants, even in the condo space, right now, everyone's sort of at that standstill, waiting to see who's going to be a first mover, introduce new units to the market. And as we wait for the rise of more purpose-built, that's kind of, from our perspective, from Grid's perspective, really shown the need to diversify and roll out the technology to different verticals, whether that be multifamily, single family, student living, hospitality. We've rapidly expanded operations into the US where just it's a night and day difference between Canada here. And I will say, like, as someone who's been in the industry now for 4+ years, being able to attend conferences both in Canada and the US and see sort of the compare and contrast the two markets and be able to pull from the US market and bring it to Canada, it really is a unique opportunity. And I would highly suggest for anyone in the space, if you have the opportunity, attend one of these major conferences, because there is a lot of value and a lot to learn from it and see how we can apply this into the Canadian market.
I guess kind of in short, then you're saying that the US market is just, they're a little bit ahead of us, I guess. That's what you're saying. Like when you go to these conferences like this, you're just, your eyes are open to a whole bunch of new things that Canada is just a little bit slower to adopt in.
Yeah, I think so. And really, the common theme there is just the state of the industry. And with a lack of available units, there hasn't been that need to continually innovate and push as much as it has in the US. So I think the Canadian market, I look at some of the, you know, the buildings that we've pushed through, the marketing campaigns that people even in the multifamily space have pushed, they go head to head with some of the best campaigns I've seen in the US markets. Absolutely. I just think that the adoption to technology and the need for it, that changing standard of that media mix, if you will, I think that gap is narrowing and people understand that you need to have premium media to be competitive in this industry.
Is that kind of need you think you're seeing? Because I'm curious, like the new trends that are coming in the field, because if we are starting to kind of pick up a little bit to where maybe the states are, what are you seeing? Like, what are these new trends in the field? What are stuff that you guys are looking into? And, you know, maybe not giving everything away, but like, what's kind of in the pipeline coming? And I know you're going to be talking at CFAA. So I'm just kind of curious, like maybe a little teaser about not what you're going to say, but maybe a little tease.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question, Jock. I'm really excited to be on the panel hosted by Max.
Oh, yes, I should say. It is hosted by Sinker Rentals, let's say, CEO Max Diamond. Shameless plug for our good friend there. But yes, it is hosted by Max.
Absolutely. And also, you know, to share the stage with Ryan Fund from Fitzrovia, too. He's an absolute expert in the industry. I'm really excited to kind of compare and contrast from vendor side versus an operator side. But what I will speak to is, you know, the hot topics are, it's all generated around AI, AI, AI. And for us, from our perspective, how we can incorporate that from an operational standpoint and from a product standpoint, you know, we've been trying to run tests, or we have been running tests now for about a year and a half, and it is very much in our roadmap to ensure that that is a major component of it. And further to that, not just the use of AI, but I think a common theme that you'll notice here is the importance of data and analytics. And while there's already, you know, the tool set available through, you know, GA4 and to be able to track, what we're finding now with the amount of data we can collect is having like a hyper realistic view of a suite by suite level. So let's use a virtual tour for an example. You compare two units and through heat map technology, notice that the kitchen from one unit has a 60% higher engagement than the other space. And maybe that's because there's been a recent renovation. So we can shift our marketing focuses to highlight what's actually garnering more traction, garnering more engagement. So from our perspective, just to give a little teaser here, I think our biggest focuses is going to be about AI and how you can kind of harness the power there. It is going to be focused on data and analytics, and it's going to be focused on hyper-custom content for on the individual basis level and capitalizing on the trends of social media. I saw a fantastic presentation recently about short form content through TikTok for on-sites and how they are using what they call micro-influencers, so residents of the home, to drive engagement and to sell the idea of the community aspect rather than just trying to sell a suite. So that's a little teaser for what's to come about in our presentation.
Yeah, it's super interesting. And it's kind of like, I would say I'm cautiously optimistic with AI and everything that it brings, because anecdotally, who doesn't use it every day? It's been like a great tool. But I mean, Rensing's implementing as well, right? You know, we have AI, ChatGPT, right into our platform there to help property managers and landlords write property descriptions and whatever they need there. So it's something that like we're embracing as well. But, you know, anecdotally, it's like, let's make sure that there's some level of regulation behind all this. But I completely understand why that's the way to go and that's the way we should go. It's just kind of working smarter, not harder with some things.
Yeah. And, you know, one last thing I'll add here is the other side, just from like a future trend perspective, is tease the idea of the parking. But parking as a whole, it's a terrible process. And it is a outdated, super inefficient aspect where it's underutilized. The revenue opportunities there just aren't being recognized properly. So combining some of those components of AI with just a full stack to kind of capitalize on that, we're trying to look at not just the leasing component of a building, but the overall operation and how they tie in together. So from a floor plan navigator perspective, imagine we're not just using that from a leasing perspective, but we're tying that into the operations as well. So that overarching look at a building from multiple angles, I think that's a really cool trend that we're seeing in the industry too.
Yeah, I never thought about that, just like parking being an outdated thing. I don't think like, but then again, I'm sure a lot of people are like, well, how? I have a car. I have to put it somewhere. Like, why? Like, why necessarily is that an outdated thing that's in, maybe not the industry, but in general, it feels like that's something that's almost a necessity, no?
Yeah. Well, when it's $20 to park downtown for 15 minutes,
yeah. There's yeah. I hear you. So I guess if anyone's interested in yourself or what Grid does, what's a really easy way to then kind of get in contact with you and your company and just kind of learn a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. Feel free to reach out through either the company website, grid.com. You can email me directly, jdonen@grid.com, J-D-O-N-E-N. We have three Joshes at Grid, and I actually lost Josh of the Year to Josh Stoller. So shout outs to him. That was a tough one, but I accept it. And finally, you know, LinkedIn, I'm always happy to engage and sit down for a coffee just to chat about current trends. Again, very passionate about the industry, so happy to connect with anyone in it.
Awesome. That's great. And I know that's like, because we have an army of people at Rensing named Matt, and none of them go by Matthew because that would be too easy. So there's a lot of Matt to deal with. But yeah, that's great. And like mentioned as well, you're going to be talking at CFAA, panel hosted by Max Diamond, our CEO. And we're also going to have Ryan Fisrovia join as well, who's truly knowledgeable about this space. So we're definitely going to be looking forward to that coming up the next few months. And yeah, again, thanks so much, Josh. Appreciate your time. I know you have a lot more insights to bring in a few months when you chat at the panel, but I think this was kind of a great introduction of what's to come, what the industry is, and kind of where it's going. So I think it's going to be really interesting, and really appreciate your time. I know you're a busy guy, so thanks a lot for joining.
Appreciate it, Giacomo. And if anyone here is attending the AIM conference in May or the Interface conference in Austin in for student living, we'll be there. So feel free to come by and say hi.
Awesome. Well, again, thanks so much. And thanks everybody for listening. Make sure you rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. Until next time.
Go Jets, go.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sink or Swim, brought to you by RentSync. If you enjoyed today's show, make sure to visit www.rentsync.com/podcast for detailed show notes, key takeaways, and more. Thanks for listening. Brought to you by RentSync.